of watching. Oh, there.
Good morning and welcome to the AJ Morning Report. This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. It's Monday, August 3rd, 2026, and for the next half hour, we'll be bringing you news from the Worcester T&G along with other local news services. Thanks to the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Mass Commission for the Blind for their ongoing support. This is Harry, along with Mark and Bill, coming to you live from the Patricia A. Fletcher Studio at Audio Journal in Worcester, Massachusetts. And now on the line, as he is just about every day, is Bill Ruggiero with our weather. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Harry. Good morning, everybody. And welcome to the Audio Journal weather for the morning report. Well, today we're looking at mostly cloudy skies with heavy rains and thunderstorms likely, and some storms could contain strong gusty winds, small hail, and locally heavy downpours. Now for tonight, we'll have an early evening thunderstorm, then mostly cloudy after midnight, and the low will be near 60 degrees. It will be muggy tonight, so it'll be uncomfortable for sleeping unless you have AC. And the outlook for tomorrow is going to get really warm, up in the upper 80s. And then on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we could be in the 90s. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we could get some thunderstorms coming through the area. And that's the latest forecast, and now back to you, Harry.
Well, thank you very much, Bill. And guess what? The Worcester reservoirs are 92.7% full, according to the T&G, of course.
Yeah, oh, what'd you say? My voice is talking.
Oh, sorry about that, Bill. So I was telling you the Worcester reservoirs are 92.7% full.
Oh, yeah. Well, we could get more rain today. They said that we could get another 3 to 4 inches of rain.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. All right. I'm going to read the national forecast for you, okay?
Okay.
All right. Showers and thunderstorms will spread across the southeast and northeast today, while severe storms develop across North Dakota and Minnesota. Thunderstorms will also expand across the Rockies. Bill, thank you very much.
Yeah, you have a great day, and I want to say special wishes to my dad. I did get to see him at the rehab place. He's not doing that good.
All right. Well, we'll continue to keep your dad in our prayers, Bill.
Yes, please do, Harry. Thanks.
Will do. All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Bye bye.
Okay. Bye bye. All right, Audio Journal listeners, we'll be right back with the front page news of the August 3rd T&G just a moment. Bye-bye. Bay State Council of the Blind is an organization created by and for people with vision loss. We seek to improve the lives of people who are blind and those who have low vision in Massachusetts. We work on accessibility, advocacy, and all walks of life. Transportation, voting, employment, education, health, and the arts. We enjoy getting together to socialize and to support each other. Our Central Mass chapter meets in Worcester every other month on the third Saturday at 10 a.m. in person and on Zoom. We are currently meeting at the offices of Audio Journal at 799 West Boylston Street in Worcester. We are trying to resume a few social events now, and we definitely work on advocacy issues such as monitoring our Massachusetts Commission for the Blind services and local transportation. For more information, please call Bay State Council of the Blind Central Mass Chapter President Mary Haroyan at 774-232-8036. That's Mary Haroyan at 774-232-8036. Or send an email to mharoyan at charter.net. That's mharoyan at charter.net. We welcome you into our community.
And now, the top story at the top of the fold of the TNG. Tariff provisions could sink Russia's sanctions. Bill would set precedent for secondary duties. This story comes to us from Reuters. A Russia sanctions bill championed by the late Lindsey Graham faces a tough road in Congress as Democrats and some Republicans raise concerns about new trade powers the legislation would grant President Donald Trump. Many Democrats, some Republicans, and industry trade groups are unhappy about a provision in the long-stalled bill that would let Trump impose steep tariffs on countries that purchase large amounts of Russian oil and gas, or countries that his administration deems to be facilitating sanctions evasion. The bill would impose sanctions on Russian officials and authorize 100% tariffs on the five largest importers of Russian crude oil or gas, or the five top countries that help Moscow evade U.S. sanctions and keep funding its war against Ukraine, now in its fifth year. Those countries are not mentioned in the bill, but would likely include China, India, and potentially some European countries and Japan. We'll be right back. In a local story from the front page, course set for safety. Local Coast Guard auxiliaries on mission for safe boating. Story by Kinga Burundi. On the many ponds, lakes, and rivers that make up the Bay State's inland ocean, members of dozens of flotillas that make up the U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary in Massachusetts keep busy educating the public about safe boating as well as state and federal marine laws. Worcester is no exception. "We extend the reach of the U.S. Coast Guard inland," says Jim McDonald, commander of the Worcester Base U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary Flotilla 10-1. The organization has some 40 members. Quote, "The flotilla is the smallest unit of the Coast Guard Auxiliary. Members are empowered to assist the Coast Guard with all duties and missions except direct military or law enforcement action," unquote. Created by an act of Congress in 1939, the nationwide net of flotillas includes 22,000 members in 825 local units, according to the Coast Guard website. Members work 3.8 million volunteer hours a year, supporting the federal agency in classrooms, on boat ramps, and on piers. Massachusetts flotillas got extra busy this year when the Hanson-Malone Act, signed in January of 25 by Governor Maura Healey, took effect in April. Under the law, named for David Hanson, a Kingston firefighter who died in a boating accident in 2010, and longtime Weymouth Harbor Master Paul Malone, Massachusetts boaters must obtain a safe boating certificate to operate a motorized watercraft, jet skis included. In Worcester, the flotilla offers Safe Boating America classes and free yearly vessel inspections. One member, Michael Sheehan of Shrewsbury, has made it his mission to teach paddle craft safety. The group attributes its success in part to its relationship with both the Lake Quinsingamon Task Force, a team of local and state enforcement agencies, and the Army Corps of Engineers for providing access to ramps and landings where members perform free inspections. We'll be right back. Our next story, turn back the clock on last call at city bars. 3 a.m. extension reverts to 2 a.m. Story by Rachel Gow. The city's watering holes were permitted to serve alcohol until 3 a.m. from June 11th to July 31st, after the license commissions opted into a bill that modified allowed closing times. Bars will now return to cutting off customers at 2 a.m. The modification was intended to encourage residents to celebrate the country's 250th anniversary and the FIFA World Cup. Stacy Blanchett, the owner of Dirt McGirt's on Main Street, said the additional hour of alcohol sales had been good for business. Dirt McGirt stayed open until 3 a.m. during the entirety of the one-and-a-half-month-long window. My neighborhood and my customers loved it. And even though Thursday to Saturday are generally your busier days, it definitely helped fill gaps for the Sundays and Tuesdays, for instance, Blanchett said in messages to the Telegram and Gazette. Our final story from the front page, unwelcome guest visits the region. Spotted lantern flies on rise pose threat to trees and crops. This story also by Kinga Burundi. The owner of Greasy's Garage found the bright creatures lined up on his neighbor's sumac tree on Hamilton Street. Recognizing them for the destructive insects they are, he sprayed them with Brake Clean. I had seen stories online about them, spotted lanternflies, so I killed them, said Peter Ames, recounting his actions Wednesday, July 29th. The insects were still in nymph form, not fully grown and unable to reproduce, but already destructive. They were clustered together. They were little black and white ones and bigger orange ones, Ames said. Those were the only ones I've seen so far, and I killed them. The insect, Lycorma delicatula, is native to China, India, and Vietnam, and likely traveled to the U.S. in cargo holds. They were first noted in Pennsylvania in 2014 and arrived in Massachusetts in 2021. First identified in Fitchburg, the pests have since spread to more than 50 communities, according to Tawny Samisky, an entomologist with UMass Amherst Extension. As the summer advances, state agricultural officials, entomologists, and local naturalists are requesting residents be on the hunt for the invasive pest during their transformation from nymph stage to adult insect. The insects are expected to reach adulthood and be able to procreate within the next few weeks. That wraps up the front page. We'll be back with more news from Mark. Stay tuned.
Audio Journal, the radio reading service of Central Massachusetts, serving visually and print-impaired listeners since 1987. Audio Journal is a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.
With local news, beginning with this one, wanted Hopedale administrator, interim official assistant resign, reported by Norman Miller of the Newport Daily News. Hopedale needs a new town administrator and very likely an assistant after a pair of recent resignations in the office. Interim town administrator Michael Gallagher resigned on Monday, July 27th, less than a month after taking the job. Assistant town administrator Kelly Grant submitted her resignation a day later. Her last day is August 7th. The news comes in the wake of former town administrator Mitch Rushdie's departure at the end of June to take the same position in Swansea. He had served Hopedale for 3 years. Select Board Chair Glenda Hazard did not return a call seeking comment. On Monday, August 3rd, the board is meeting to interview two candidates for interim town administrator, Tim McGinney and David DeMonch. McKierney, a former Northborough town administrator, he served nearly a year, resigning in October 2024 for personal reasons. He is also a former town administrator in Grafton and in Seekonk. More recently, McInerney was Shrewsbury's Department of Public Works director, but he was removed from the position in June by town manager Kevin Mitzgar after McInerney was found to have violated, quote, workplace norms and standards, according to the Telegram and Gazette. The incident cited occurred during an off-site comedy event. McInerney had been Shrewsbury's DPW director for a year and 9 months. DeManch is a business and municipal consultant and former town administrator in Freetown. He also served as interim town administrator in Dunstable, Mendon, and Rutland. Gallagher has been Hopedale's interim town administrator since July 6th. However, during Hopedale's July 7th select board meeting, Hazard read a resignation letter from Gallagher. He cited a recent health issue that manifested for a family member in the letter, causing him to step down. I am truly honored that your faith in me to be your interim town administrator and feel terrible that I am unable to fulfill the duties necessary to move the town forward, Gallagher wrote. Grant, a former Bellingham Select Board member, submitted her resignation on Tuesday. She was among three finalists to be interim town administrator and interviewed for the job, but the Select Board chose Gallagher, a North Attleboro former town administrator who had previously served as interim administrator in several communities, including Northborough. Grant said not being chosen interim town administrator was a factor in her decision to leave. I don't think it would have come as a surprise to anyone after not getting that position. Grant, who was hired as assistant town administrator in January 2025, told the Daily News, "The opportunity for growth within the town of Hopedale has hit its endpoint for me. That's completely up to the board's discretion to choose the best candidate for the position." Grant said she has accepted a new position in another community, but declined to say what it was. A-plus from Ms. Rachel for McGovern, reported by Rachel Gow of the Telegram and Gazette. Congressman Jim McGovern, who lost his own daughter to cancer, has demanded the United States do more for cancer patients in Gaza. His efforts have received high praise from YouTube sensation and early childhood educator Ms. Rachel. "This made me cry, the fact that kids with cancer are being blocked from life-saving treatment and dying, and the fact that a dad who lost his precious daughter, Molly, to cancer is trying to help," Rachel Accorso, better known as Ms. Rachel, wrote in a July 30 post. "Thank you, Representative McGovern," she concluded. McGovern's daughter, Molly McGovern, died in April 2025 after battling a rare form of cancer for close to 6 years. She was 23. On June 11th, McGovern, along with Senator Ed Markey and others, sent a letter to Secretary of State Mark Rubio demanding the administration press the Israeli government to reestablish a medical corridor that would allow Palestinian cancer patients in Gaza to obtain life-saving medical care in East Jerusalem and the West Bank. In the letter, they highlighted the case of a 6-year-old boy named Gazal who was diagnosed with leukemia and died while waiting for an evacuation request to be approved by the Israeli government. McGovern, who has been an outspoken critic of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, calling for a ceasefire in the early days of the war in Gaza and for more humanitarian aid to be supplied to the enclave. Ms. Rachel started a YouTube channel in 2019, singing nursery rhymes and other songs aimed at helping young children with speech delays before skyrocketing to fame the following year. Logan Field, Mill Street, Worcester, reported by Mike Elfand of the Telegram and Gazette. Nearly a century ago, a new playground at Mill and Fowler Streets became a lasting tribute to James Logan, the mayor of Worcester from 1908 to 1911. The City Parks and Recreation Department, in what is termed an offer of condolence, voted in January 1930 to name the playground after Logan, who died a month earlier. He had been Parks Commissioner. Logan was the general manager of U.S. Envelope Company, a major Worcester employer at the time. He was a longtime trustee of Worcester Polytechnic Institute. Not long before his death, the city took over about 10 acres off Mill Street for a new playground. The land, controlled by a real estate group known as Speedway Glens, was taken by eminent domain, followed by a legal battle over the price tag. A judge eventually put the cost at $13,449, about $262,000 today. Logan Field has been improved over the years. Its role in the neighborhood recreation spot continues. The ball field has been relocated. The basketball courts have replaced tennis courts in what is now the outfield. Stone columns at the entrance and a stone retaining wall in the outfield are reminders of the park's century-old roots. The field's standing is a tribute to a key figure in this city. It took on added meaning in 1997 when the baseball diamond was named for Marshall Silverman, a longtime president of the Westside Babe Ruth League. Pedal Power, Pan Mass Challenge makes its first start in Worcester. Reported by Richard Duckett, also of the Telegram and Gazette. Dateline Worcester, bicycles put pedal to the metal to fight cancer as the annual Pan Mass Challenge Bikeathon got underway at 6 a.m. on Saturday, August 1st at the College of the Holy Cross. Dawn broke with a sunny light blue sky, and soon there would be a long peloton of purpose as a sea of bicyclists, that is. Many wearing blue PMC shirts slowly left the campus, pedaling down McKeon Road, with the ultimate destination for many, the finish line, about 177 miles away in Provincetown on Sunday, August 2nd. Participants had many different reasons for getting involved, but they were united in a common cause and feeling. "You're looking at a sea of love," said rider Philip Moore, 58, of Lunenburg, as he looked at the bicyclists chatting and making last-minute adjustments in a parking lot area ahead of the start. "You look around the 6,000 people, you don't know anybody. They're going to help, but they're up early," he added. All told, the PMC was expected to have more than 6,000 riders, with a fundraising goal of $79 million for cancer research and treatment at the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute in Boston. The PMC has raised more than $1 billion for cancer research since it was founded in 1980. This was the first year that Worcester was the primary start for the event, which previously originated in Sturbridge. Riders packed spaces outside on the Holy Cross campus before the ride began. Many had been dropped off by yellow school buses from where they had been staying in hotels the night before. There was food and coffee available and a generally friendly buzz of anticipation. Glenn Hawley, director of operations for the PMC, said 2,800 riders would form the first wave from Worcester at 6 a.m. with another 2,600 pedaling out a short time later from Babson College in Wellesley. There are a number of different routes riders can take to join in. Many were expected to stay overnight August 1st, Massachusetts Maritime Academy in Bourne, before setting out on the Cape Cod section of the ride on August 2nd.
Now for the reading of today's obituaries. Up first, Anne Marie Ogigian, age unknown, from Worcester, died July 31st. Arrangements will be at the Britton Wallace Funeral Home in Auburn. That was Anne Marie Ogigian, also known as Anne Marie Holleran. Arthur C. Hall, age 76, from Worcester, died July 24th. Arrangements at the Dursa Morin Memorial Chapel. That was Arthur C. Hall from Worcester. Jane Lambrenos, age 75, from Worcester, died July 29th. arrangements at the O'Connor Brothers Funeral Home. That was Jane Lambranos, age 75, from Worcester. Diane H. Miller, age 70, from Holden, died July 21st. Arrangements at the Miles Funeral Home. That was Diane H. Miller. Yvette O'Brien, age 81, from Worcester, died July 29th. Arrangements at the Mercadante Funeral Home and Chapel. That was Yvette O'Brien from Worcester. Dale Scott Sheldon, age 78, from Spencer, North Brookfield, died on July 30th. Arrangements at the Pillsbury Funeral Home. That was Dale Scott Sheldon from Spencer, North Brookfield. And finally, Azadullah Sherzai, age 75, from Worcester, died on August 1st. Arrangements at the Worcester Islamic Center. That was Azadullah Sherzai. We'll be right back. Now for Today in History. Today is August 3rd. On this date in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue, launching from the port of Palos in Spain with the Niña, Pinta, and Santa Maria. The explorer hoped to find a western sea route to the spice-rich countries of Asia. And in 1996, Hey Macarena! A catchy rumba remix of Los Del Rio's Macarena first topped the Billboard Hot 100, where it stayed for 14 weeks. Well, that wraps up the morning report for today. I want to thank Mark for coming into the studio today and thank Bill for the weather. And remember, we're sponsored by the Mask Mission for the Blind and the Memorial Foundation for the Blind. And on these hot days, don't forget to drink water and don't forget to ask for help. Be kind to one another. Bye-bye.
You are listening to Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.
This is Bird Note. It's morning in southern Arizona, and a white-winged dove coos from atop a saguaro cactus. He looks a lot like a mourning dove, a close relative. But this bird's voice and signature white wing patch set him apart. White-winged doves primarily eat seeds and grains, but in the Sonoran Desert, a large part of their diet depends on saguaro cactuses. These massive plants grow in columns more than 40 feet tall. In late spring, they bloom a crown of large white flowers, packed with sweet nectar. The blossoms attract bees, bats, and doves that transfer pollen between plants as they forage. The saguaros then bear fruit that bursts open to reveal a dark red pulp and thousands of delicious seeds. In the desert southwest, white-winged doves time their migration to sync up with the saguaro's reproductive cycle, to the benefit of both species. The cacti provide doves with a crucial source of water in the driest part of the Sonoran summer. The doves sustain the saguaros as pollinators and seed dispersers. It's a classic case of mutualistic symbiosis. Learn more about the relationships between plants and birds on our website, birdnote.org. I'm Mark Bramhill.
Hello, sports fans. Did you know that Audio Journal has a weekly one-hour program that features news and inspiring stories about disabled and visually impaired folks participating in sports at the local, national, and international level? That's AJ Sports Page. Tune in on Fridays from 5 to 6 p.m. That's AJ Sports Page, airing every Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Archived episodes are available on demand on our website, www.audiojournal.org. That's AJ Sports Page, a production of Audio Journal. We are a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.